and Jason going to play on the piano.
die for me. You realize what's all in that? What a wonderful message. All right, Jason, you have something for us then?
Moses told the king to let my people go. The frogs, the lice and things, Pharaoh still said no. But the angel of the Lord passed by in the night to destroy every firstborn. He could only spare a life when he saw the blood, picture of God's Son. And he looked down from heaven above in mercy, grace, and wondrous love for the ransom to be paid. A sacrifice was made, washed in a crimson flood when he saw the blood. Abram took his son up the mountain of the Lord. Behold the fire and wood, but father, where's the lamb? But they took God at his word. The altar was prepared. In the woods a ram was caught, and Isaac's life was spared when he saw the blood, a picture of God's Son. See grace and wondrous love for the ransom to be paid. A sacrifice was made, washed in a crimson flood when he saw the blood. He prayed to his father, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thine be done. No other lamb would need. The sky grew dark, the thunder crashed. They pierced his hands and side. His blood was spilled on the ground. Jesus suffered. Then he died, and he saw the blood. It was his son, and he looked down from heaven above in mercy, grace, and wondrous love for the ransom to be paid. A sacrifice was made, washed in a crimson flood when he saw the blood, for the ransom to be paid. A sacrifice was made, washed in a crimson flood when he saw the blood. He saw the blood.
Book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews, chapter 5. What a blessing that song was. Wow. Good one. That's a good one. Well, Hebrews chapter 5. Last week we looked at verses 14, 15, 16 of chapter 4. And we saw that the New Testament is better than the Old Testament because the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, is better than Aaron. Aaron. You all know who Aaron is, right? Aaron was the first high priest of Israel, set up and called by God to be the first high priest of Israel. Do you remember last week we read Numbers chapter 16 about Korah, Abiram, and Dathan, and how they challenged Moses and Aaron and said, "You've made yourself too much of yourself. We can be ministers for the Lord and high priests for the Lord too." Of course, the challenge was put out there. And when it was all over and done, God did a thing that's never been done before. He caused the earth to open and swallowed Korah, Abiram, and Dathan, and all that pertained to them right down into the earth. And then it closed up over them. And everybody knew that God had called Aaron to be the high priest, to do the work of the priesthood in the tabernacle. And his sons later on, who would take his place after he would die, and the son would take his place right on into Solomon's temple and right on through the Old Testament till you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was not born in the tribe of Levi and was not born as one of the sons of Aaron. But the psalmist wrote, and David wrote, that there would come a priest after another order, after the order of, and do you know who it is? Melchizedek. And it says of him, he would be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Jesus does not have any earthly children to take his place. Like Aaron. Aaron had sons, and their sons had sons, and their sons had sons. Right on through the whole Old Testament time, there were sons born to Aaron. And his priesthood, his own personal priesthood of Aaron, could not continue because of the fact that he had to die. Then the next one took over and he couldn't continue because he had to die. But I want to present to you someone tonight who can be a priest and a better priest because he ever liveth to make intercession for you. So the New Testament, folks, take a look at your New Testament. Bible, and kind of grab a hold of Matthew and go to the end and look at all that there is here in the Old Testament. Look how much of my Bible takes up the Old Testament. Now, I know that I have a lot of concordant stuff in the back of this Bible, so I could kind of take that's about how big the New Testament is in comparison to the rest of this Bible. And yet, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is better than the Old Testament. Now, do not think for a moment that I am saying the New Testament or the Old Testament is of no value. Oh, no. Oh, no. You do well to study the Old Testament and see pictures and types of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remember when the Lord rose up from the grave and then he was walking with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember that? Remember that account in the Bible? And they didn't know who he was. And the Bible says that when he broke bread with them, then their eyes were opened and they saw who he was, and he disappeared out of their sight. And the thing that really impressed them was how he took the Old Testament scriptures and what the prophets said and revealed himself to those two men through all the Old Testament prophets and things that the Old Testament talked about when it talked about the coming Messiah. So don't think that when I say and present here out of the book of Hebrews that Jesus is better than the Old Testament, that I am somehow saying the Old Testament is of no value. Oh no, it prepared everybody for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is better than what takes place in the Old Testament, because he is better than the prophets. We've already discussed that. He's better than the angels. We looked at that already in the book of Hebrews. He's better than Moses and better than Joshua. And now we're going to see that he's even better than Aaron. You know, all these personages that we've already seen that he's better than are held in high esteem by the Jews at the time the book of Hebrews was written. They thought of the prophets very highly. Of course, the angels are well-known creatures to the nation of Israel. How they protected and watched over Israel. Jason's song that he just sang talked about the angel of the Lord. And then Moses. There is no one greater to the Israelite than Moses. And Joshua, I guess he would probably be coming in second. Then the man Aaron stands there representative to the nation of Israel as the one who would intercede with God on behalf of the whole nation. What a ministry Aaron and his sons had toward Israel. Because, and there was one day a year, the Day of Atonement, in which the high priest, Aaron, and then his sons that followed, one day a year, the Day of Atonement, they would make a sacrifice for themselves, first of all, for their sins, take the blood right into the Holy of Holies behind the veil in the tabernacle and sprinkle it on the mercy seat there. Then they do the same thing for the children of Israel and slay a lamb for them and take that blood right on into the Holy of Holies, which is mentioned as the place where God said, I will meet with you there. I will meet with you there. And he would sprinkle seven times blood on the mercy seat in order to make it an atonement for the children of Israel. And they knew that if the high priest successfully accomplished that on that day, the people of Israel knew that their sins were covered. An atonement was made for them with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, there is another one who offered himself. Not only was he the priest, and I'm talking about Jesus, not only is he the high priest, but he is also the Lamb. And it's his own blood that he sheds and goes into the very presence of God up in heaven with and presents that blood there on your behalf and my behalf. This is what the whole story of the gospel is all about. And just as God said to the nation of Israel in the Holy of Holies on that mercy seat, he said, that's where I will meet with you. Isn't it interesting that the tabernacle's gone, the temple is gone? It's not around anymore. Well, then how is God going to meet with anybody? I'm going to tell you where. At the cross. At the cross. That's where. And you have to come there personally. Amen. And go through that high priest, Jesus Christ, in order to have salvation, new life, eternal life, home in heaven, a new life in Christ. You know, there's nothing better than knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now notice, I did not say there's nothing better than being a member of a church. I didn't say that. There's nothing better than being baptized. I didn't say that. Those things are okay in their place, but you know what? The most important thing in your life is to come to the cross and there receive Christ as your Savior and receive the free gift of eternal life and be changed in a moment from a sinner on your way to hell to a sinner on your way to heaven. By the way, you know, as you might sit here tonight and say, "Boy, these people pretty bold to say they're going to heaven." You know what? I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's it. A sinner saved by grace. It's what Christ has done for me that makes me say these things tonight about there is nothing better than being a Christian and a child of God. All right, so taking a look at chapter 4 and verse 14, we see that Jesus is better than Aaron because Jesus ascended through the heavens into the actual Holy of Holies. That's what it says there in verse 14 of chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 15, we see that Jesus is in the Holy of Holies and Jesus is the Son of God. Aaron holds no similar position or claim. And no, Aaron could never say, "I'm a son of God." No, he's a son of his parents. Jesus could say, and he did say. And when he said it, the people at that time got so angry that he actually said he was a son of God that they picked up stones to stone him one day. He said, "For what good work are you doing?" They said, "It's not for any good work you've done. It's because you blasphemed and said that God is your father." Whoa. Of course, they didn't stone him. They couldn't do that because his hour was not yet come. He was going to go to the cross. I'm glad my Savior wasn't stoned to death. Okay. I'm glad he died exactly the way he did. Not that I wish and I'm thankful, you know, for the way he had to die, but that was the way God planned for him to die to save this hell-deserving sinner. And you see me pointing at myself. And I hope you could all point at your own self and say the same thing. It says in verse 14 also, to hold fast your profession, especially those who are thinking of going back to the Old Testament ground. In verse 15, we find that Jesus is a high priest who can sympathize with us and still be without sin. Now, Aaron can't be that way. Aaron was a sinner. And you know what? This pastor's a sinner. And by the way, don't think that somehow I can get you into heaven. I can't. Only Jesus can. You know, sometimes people die and then they call for the preacher to come and see if he can't pray them into heaven or preach them into heaven somehow at the funeral. No, it's too late. It's too late. You better know where you're going before that. Jesus is the only one who can sympathize with you and still be without sin at the same time. And then in verse 16 of chapter 4, we are able through this great high priest to enter into the Holy of Holies. Isn't that something? You know, in the Old Testament, when Aaron and his sons were in charge, they were the only ones allowed into the Holy of Holies. You couldn't, no one else could go in there. Only Aaron and his sons. That's it. Do you realize that the Bible says you can actually go right into the very presence of God through the Lord Jesus Christ? What a blessing that is. That you, a single individual all by yourself, can actually go right into the very presence of God through Jesus Christ. That's what it says there. Look at verse 16 in chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I can just hear an Israelite at that time saying, what do you mean go into the boldly under the throne of grace? We're not allowed in the temple under the Holy of Holies. We're not allowed, or if it was the tabernacle time, we're not allowed to go in there. Oh, but you are. In fact, you're invited to come in there. God wants you to come into his very presence through the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. See how much better he is? Now, chapter 5, verse 1, we see here, and I'm not reading the verses because I already read these last week. He was taken not from among men, but from the Godhead. See, Aaron was taken from among men. Jesus was not taken from among men. He was from the Godhead. Jesus was not a man, but the Son of God. And then in chapter 5, verses 2 through 5, we see here that Jesus is sinless in opposition to Aaron, who is not sinless. Aaron, as a high priest, could have reasonable compassion upon sinners, for he was one himself. He was called of God to do this, as no man would take this office upon himself without be considered hypocritical and having a holier-than-thou attitude. And that's where I took you to Korah. Imagine those men saying, well, we can do that job just as well as Aaron. Wait a minute. Aaron didn't even take that job on by himself. You know, Aaron didn't make a deal with Moses, his brother, and say, hey, Moses, when we get through the Red Sea and get into the wilderness and you build the tabernacle, how about you giving me a good job to do? Here's Moses back there. Well, Aaron, what would you like? Well, how about the high priesthood? How much would it cost for me to have that job? You know what? You can't buy that job. You can't buy it. Aaron was called of God. Isn't it good to hear a baby's cry? You know what? Aaron was called of God to do that. He said, Moses, your son Aaron, I want you to anoint him and make the garments necessary for him and put the ephod on him. If you say, what is all that stuff? You need to read your Old Testament. All right? Put that ephod on him, and I want you to pour on him oil. And then I want you to sprinkle all over his beautiful white robes and everything that he has, blood. Sprinkle the blood all over him. And I want you to ordain him to be the high priest over Israel. I don't know how Aaron felt about that. I just don't know. But I wonder if later on he might have said, wow, what a job this is. Do you realize how many animals he had to kill, you know? How many offerings he had to make? And then he needed the help of all the Levites to help him. I mean, there were so many sacrifices to be done. The sons of Levi had to help Aaron in this. But Aaron was the one who would be the main figure there. And then when he died, his son took over. Eleazar, and then Abiathar in the days of David. What a job. I wonder if they ever thought, I wonder if there's something else I could do. an easier job than this. They were called of God to do that. So now, look at verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. All right, let's bring Christ in on the platform here tonight. We've already seen Aaron. He was called of God to do this job for the nation of Israel. Do you know, Jesus Christ also did not take this upon himself to do what he did for you and me. The Father ordained the Son to do the work on the cross for you and me. And the Lord Jesus Christ submitted himself to the Father's will. And in Jason's song tonight, the last verse of that song was, not my will but thine be done, when Jesus is seen in the garden in that song. Jason, that was a great song to start this message. Wow.
It took me a year to write that.
Excuse me?
It took me about a year to write that.
You wrote that song?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Whoa. I didn't know that. Jesus didn't take it upon himself to do this. This is the Father's will. Isn't it also good not only to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but to know that the Father also loves you? How about John 3:16? How many know John 3:16 by heart? Raise your hand. All right, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. You know, sometimes all you have to see is that reference, a sign on the road, John 3:16. And that should come to your mind. Now, why am I bringing this out? Because that verse says this, for God so loved the world. And I believe in this reference, it's speaking of the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, the Father is giving the Son. And that tells me that the Son, just like Isaac in Jason's song, Isaac said to his father Abraham when he was going up to Mount Moriah there, because God was testing Abraham's faith there, and said, I want you to offer Isaac on an altar. You're going to slay him on an altar. There goes Abraham. Well, God already said, I'm really getting way off, but it doesn't matter. All right. Abraham had to believe this, because God had said, through Isaac, the seed will come. Well, how is that going to happen if I'm going to take him up there and kill him? He must have believed this. Somehow in the only way that he could understand, somehow I'm going to do what God says, but Isaac's going to have to come back to life. He's going to have to come back to life. And did he not say, those of you who know this story, did he not say when he departed the other guys that were with him to go up alone with Isaac onto the mountain, he said, we'll be back in so many ways. Didn't he say that? Didn't he say, we'll be back? Wait a minute, you're going up there to kill him. The only way you're going to come back like that, you're going to come back yourself with a dead corpse. Up to the mount he goes. And what I was saying is this. Isaac said to his father, I'm carrying the wood. Where's the lamb? Abraham says, the Lord will provide. He'll provide a lamb. Oh boy. Could he say to him, you're the lamb? Now, I don't think Isaac was any real, like a little tiny boy or anything. He was a young man. Could he fought with his father as he tried to put him on the altar there? I think Isaac was of such a nature and had been brought up in such a way in the home of Abraham and Sarah that he obeyed his parents and did what his parents said, and trusted that his parents would do the right thing. On the altar he goes. And his father, I just often think about this. How would Isaac be? I even think about Abraham. How's he doing, you know? And the angel of the Lord says, stop! Now I know that you will do whatever I say. And looking off to the side, there's a ram caught in the bush by its horns. Boy, that ram probably said, I shouldn't have got up this morning, right? There's that ram, caught in the bush by its horns. Take Isaac off, put the ram on there. You know what? I see my Savior Jesus Christ is so much better than the Old Testament because he's better than Aaron. He did the Father's will. He didn't take this upon himself. He did what the Father wanted him to do. That shows you how great this salvation is for you and for me. You know, as I've been going so far through Hebrews, and here we are in chapter 5, every once in a while when I prepare, I'm trying to say to myself, okay, when I'm all done preaching, how is this going to affect the people listening? How's it going to affect you? Because you sit there and you take all this in and you say, wow, boy, that's really something. That's really great. Jesus is so better than the prophets, better than the angels, better than Moses, better than Joshua. That's good. Better than Aaron now, we're looking at. I think the thing that you should take away from this is, I did the right thing trusting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That's the thing you should take away from this. I did the right thing trusting Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Because there is just no other way. There's no other truth. There's no other gospel than this message of what Jesus Christ has done. Well, preacher, come on, just tell us the gospel. What is it? It's Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But Hebrews goes deeper than that so that you will learn to appreciate your salvation even more than ever before. You know, if all we needed was a simple verse that says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's enough. I don't need to hear anymore. Oh, you do need to hear more. You do need the book of Hebrews to nail it down for you. That having trusted in the Son of John 3:16 was the greatest thing you've ever done. And it is the greatest salvation there ever is. And I could say was because it is even now. And shall be for all eternity. Do you know it's what we're going to be singing about in heaven when we get there? You ever have anybody say, well, I don't know why you want to go to heaven. Well, it's going to be a boring place. There's no Guinness. Yeah, you know those people in the bars. They're having a good time. Hey, folks, they're having a good time. They are. Laughing, joking. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. Probably swinging someone else's wife around on the dance floor. But that's fun too. Oh, man. You know what heaven's going to be? A place where we're going to honor and glorify the one who saved my lost soul. The one who saved me from hell. And he did this willingly on his own. Verse 5 says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest. But he that said unto him, and this is the Father saying to him, thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. And then the Father says this in verse 6, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus, not only called of God, did not seek the priesthood, but was appointed. And Jesus is better than Aaron because he's God's Son. In verse 6, I see that Jesus is something else better than Aaron. He is an eternal high priest. Aaron's priesthood was temporary and always changing. Go to chapter 7 and verse 23. Look at verse 23. Chapter 7, verse 23. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. You know what that means? That means that Aaron couldn't keep on being the priest because he died. And his son would take over, and he'd live his life out doing the priesthood, but he died. And so someone else had to keep taking over all the time. Back here in chapter 5, verse 6, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. See, Jesus' priesthood is different. Why? Well, first of all, because it's after another order, after the order of Melchizedek. Now, can you just take a look over there at chapter 7, verse 1? For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Verse 3, look at verse 3. This is who this Melchizedek is. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Ooh, if you're a Roman Catholic or a Greek Orthodox Catholic, you have your local priest. You have a local priest. And he kind of intercedes on your behalf. You know what's going to happen? He's going to die. And they'll have to send another priest to your local parish. And he'll be a young whippersnapper right out of seminary or something like that. And he'll make all kinds of mistakes and everything. And he'll be your next holy father. That's not right. That's not right. You don't need any priest but Jesus Christ. He's the only one you need. Why? Because he's after a priesthood whose order starts out with a guy who has no beginning or ending, no father, no mother. What kind of a priesthood is this? It's a priesthood that's going to last forever. Now, we'll talk about those things when we get to chapter 7 some more. I just wanted to throw that in there real quick, because over here it says, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. See, Aaron and all his sons, they have to point back, well, my dad was this, my dad was that, my dad was this, and that dad had Aaron as his father. Jesus Christ doesn't have to go back and say, well, I have, no. He comes from the order of Melchizedek. No beginning, no ending of day. That's the Savior you have. That's the priest you got. And he lasts forever. Well, I'm going to stop right there. It is so good to have a priest like that. Jason, would you get yourself ready and come on up here and sing that song of yours? Wow, I didn't know you did that. I didn't know you composed that. Wow. You know what, though? I was sitting there thinking, I did say this. I wonder if he did that. Because I've never heard the song before. And lo and behold, you said that. I was kind of like shocked. But I think it goes well with what we've talked about here tonight. And why do we take time to go through the book of Hebrews? I want you to walk out of these doors here tonight saying to yourself, best thing I ever did was trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I have everything I need. I'm complete in Him. There is no doubt about who He is and what He's done for me. You don't go out of the door and go, boy, I wonder if I should be a Jew. Yeah. I wonder if I should go back and go under the law of Moses. I wonder if I, should attend a synagogue and, eventually they're going to get their temple built in Jerusalem again. And I'll go that. No. Well, maybe I'll go back to my old church. I mean, they baptized me when I was a baby. I was a member all my life. And, I can't turn my back on that. You ought to turn your back on that. And put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid it all for you. and will continue to be your priest forever and ever and ever. And there's no doubt where you will be forever and ever and ever. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior here tonight, I beg you to trust Jesus as your Savior from sin right now. Do it right now. And if you need help with that, just talk with one of us. We'd be glad to share some verses with you and help you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're listening on the internet right now, wherever you're at, all you need to do is in a prayer-like attitude, say, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. But I now know Jesus is the only one who can save me. And I trust him as my Savior right now. And according to John 3:16, you'll have everlasting life. Do it. Don't put it off. Do it even while Jason sings this song. But oh wow, Jason, sing this song again to us. It's good.
Took his son up the mountain of the Lord. Behold the fire and wood. Father, where's the lamb? But they took God at his word, and the altar it was prepared. In the woods was caught a ram. Isaac's life was spared when he saw the blood, a picture of God's Son. And he looked down from heaven above in mercy, grace, and wondrous love for the ransom to be paid. A sacrifice was made, washed in and flood when he saw the blood. He prayed to his father, let this cup pass from me, not my will but thine be done. No other lamb would need. The sky grew dark, the thunder crashed, they pierced his hands inside. His blood was spilled on the ground. Jesus suffered and then he died. And he saw the blood, it was his son. And he looked down from heaven above in mercy. mercy, grace, and wondrous love, for the ransom to be paid. A sacrifice was made, washed in a crimson flood, when he saw the blood. For the ransom to be paid, a sacrifice was made, washed in a crimson flood, when he saw the blood. He saw the blood.